Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Have our podcasts in those locations as well. What does it mean to be converted? There's a great definition for this. I'll read it to you. It's from the Message from the Editor section of Lesson 9 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This is a free course that you can sign up for at thetrumpet.com. But here's the definition of converted. It says, to become converted is to have God's thoughts rather than carnal thoughts and emotions and desires. We must think like God. That's not easy to do. To think like God. And it's a lifelong process, the conversion process. And we must constantly grow in our conversion. Something is always growing in our lives. Either we are becoming more converted, we're thinking more like God, or we're going the other direction and thinking more like this world. And we know Satan's the God of this world. That's what the Bible reveals. So there's the world's way of doing things, this carnal mind thinking that Satan is the author of. And then there's God's way. And we want to become more like God and think more like God does. And to have God's thoughts rather than carnal thoughts and emotions and desires. And so that's a real lifelong process that must continue. We have to continue to grow and think more like God does. And baptism is only the starting point of a Christian's conversion. Then they have to continue to grow and think more and more like God. To accomplish this, we need to be repenting, and that means changing. Changing areas of our thinking that are not like God's thinking. And that's something that, again, is a lifelong process, and we have to be continuing to grow and continuing to change and, again, think more and more like God does. Notice this passage in Acts 20. We have a few passages today, so if you have a Bible handy, you could get it out. We could look at these scriptures together. Acts 20, we want to be able to change and think more like God. And how do we do it? How do we really effectively make change? Well, let's look at this verse here, Acts 20 and verse 21. It says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need repentance toward God. What does that mean? What does it mean to repent toward God? Again, I'll give you a quote, and these quotes come from the Correspondence Course, Lesson 9. When you sin, perhaps you see how your sin hurts other people, but do you have repentance toward God? You must be careful. You're not just having a human sorrow over your sin, because that isn't going to cause you to overcome your problems. Our repentance must rise above the human level. Only godly sorrow, repentance toward God, will cause you to overcome. That's a very important point there, because, you know, there are people that really do want to make changes and yet really struggle to do that, and they don't move forward like they'd like to. You know, even people that aren't even thinking anything about, say, God's law, they just are looking at something in their life and they say, well, maybe they want to lose some weight, or maybe they want to, you know, do better financially or something like that. But it's hard to make changes. It's hard to make changes. And if we're going to make lasting change, we need godly sorrow, repentance toward God. That will cause us to really go forward and overcome. If you take the example of, say, someone who is addicted to gambling, we'll just use a random example here. I know that there are people that have problems with this, and don't mean to pick on that, but at the same time, it's just an example we can use. Somebody who's addicted to gambling, well, it's becoming a bigger issue these days with sports betting and so forth. So it is kind of becoming a more of a societal problem and spreading in that way. But if somebody's addicted to that, when they lose enough money, they, I imagine, feel bad about it, and they're sorry it happened. And if they have family, they are sorry they hurt their family because of the financial problems. And they don't want to be in debt, and they don't want to hurt their family anymore. They're just sick of it. But often a little time goes by, and maybe, you know, they get paid again, get a little more money, and maybe the trouble dies down a bit. And before you know it, it's easy enough for that person to go back to gambling and continue the cycle. Sin, feel bad about the negative result, you know, maybe make an effort to stop for a while and then go back to it. And that's what happens to a lot of people, whatever the issue is, you know, whether it's something like trying to lose some weight or change another habit that's not good. It's easy to get into this cycle of feeling bad about it and then, you know, kind of working to feel a little bit better. And once you feel better, then going back to it. See, that's a cycle that people can get into. But that's worldly sorrow. Yeah, they're sorry about it. They feel bad about certain aspects of it and the results of it. And they, at some point, usually wish they weren't doing it. But they just keep going back into the same habits. They don't really repent and change because it doesn't last. It's just a temporary stop while they feel bad and then oftentimes jump back into it. To really repent of gambling, let's say, just as an example, the person has to stop gambling forever. They don't ever do it again. And then, of course, go the opposite way. And they actually, instead of trying to, you know, gain money the wrong way, they go and they work hard. And then they're able to give to others. They really repent and go the other direction. That's the type of change that we all want. A person can feel bad for hurting themselves and other people. But we have to understand that when we sin, ultimately we kill Christ. We have to see beyond just the physical people around us and maybe our own lives, and realize that sin, any sin, ultimately kills Jesus Christ. And it's something we need to think about. Changes our perspective on our thoughts and our actions and our behaviors. Again, from Lesson 9 of the Correspondence Course, it says, when you sin, you ram a spear into Christ's side. That's the reason he died, because you and I sin. If nobody else ever enters the kingdom of God but you, Christ still would have subjected himself to that gruesome execution. There is a terrible penalty for sin, and someone has to pay it. That's the way it must be, according to the law of God. Jesus Christ has to pay that penalty. And whenever there's sin, he has to pay the penalty for that when we repent. You know, he made that sacrifice. And again, we have to be repenting and changing and asking for forgiveness. But we have to understand that the penalty has to be paid, and Jesus Christ paid that. Repentance towards God causes a person to repent of their sin, you know, because they realize what their sin is doing to God. And then they can move forward and really make a change, realizing how serious it is, realizing what sin does to God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that's any sin committed by anybody. So everybody has sinned, the Bible says, with the exception of Jesus Christ. So we're all guilty of this, and we have to all repent and move forward. You know, a lot of times you'll see when somebody's confronted about a sin, all too often the response is, well, it's not hurting anybody. You know, what's the problem? It's not hurting anybody. You see that in society a lot. People will say that. But sin always hurts. It hurts many people, but ultimately it hurts God the Father and Jesus Christ. It always does, whether any other human ever finds out about it or not. Notice this passage in Romans 2, verses 3 and 4. Romans 2, verses 3 through 4, it says, and think you this, O man, that judges them which do such things and does the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Verse 4, or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Goodness of God leads you to repentance. The Correspondence Course says, do you realize how good God is? How good he is to you? How much he has given you? When we evaluate ourselves and compare ourselves with the goodness of God, we see how evil we are. Compare your goodness with God's, and then you begin to see why we really need to repent toward God and not toward man. See, as we grow through the conversion process, we see more and more how we need to change to become like God is. See, that's the standard. The standard that we are growing toward is the perfection of God. And in order to be forgiven of sin, Christ had to be killed. God allowed that. God the Father and Jesus Christ volunteered for that and went through that for us. So when we think about how good God is to us, we have to think about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Notice John 3 and verse 16. This is a passage that's pretty famous. It used to be on signs at sporting events, but we don't see that too much anymore. At least I haven't in a while. But this is a very true and important passage, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can see the love of God, right? This is what he did. He gave his only begotten Son, and that we could have life, that we could repent, that we could change, we could become converted and make lasting change. The correspondence course says, yes, when Christ came to this earth, his life was at stake. He could indeed sin. Christ's life was the greatest risk in the history of man, but he took it because he wanted people to be in his family. And it gives the example of Abraham and how he, you know, offered his son Isaac, and God was impressed by that. You can read about that in Genesis 22. And God said, you know, look, I want people in my family like you, like Abraham, people that would believe God and obey him, and would act on belief in God's promises, have faith. And so God the Father and Jesus Christ, they risked everything, not just for Abraham, but for all of mankind. And so that's how good God is. We should want to conquer sin and make lasting change, realizing what sin does, what the penalty for it is, what the price is. When we realize that, if we think deeply upon that, and we have to keep thinking about it and think about it more deeply all the time and ask God to help us really understand it, because it's such an immense sacrifice, that'll help us in our changing. It'll help us to repent toward God, where we realize we don't want to sin because of what it does to God and what it does to Jesus Christ. The correspondence course, again, lesson 9, says, if Christ had failed, God the Father would have been sitting in solitary confinement for the rest of eternity. That's the kind of sacrifice these gods made for us. We can forget that, it says, in our callous carnal thinking. But God the Father and Christ did it, and they did it for you. They want you to be aware of that, not out of vanity, but so that you will recognize that repentance must be toward God, because sin is breaking God's law. And Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that. So sin's not a small thing, or it's not a casual thing, or it's not something we can say, well, yeah, it's not really going to hurt anybody. Or, well, nobody will really find out about this. I mean, God knows, and Christ had to pay the penalty for it. If we're thinking that way, if we get our minds on that, that'll change our thought process. We'll become more converted because we'll be thinking more like God. You know, we need to think about sin the way God thinks about sin. It says, meditate deeply upon God's goodness. It's contrary to everything we see in this miserable, evil world. God would never even think about allowing himself to sin. He is not that way. His mind is in perfect accord with his law in every detail. So again, when we think about growing and becoming like God and thinking like God, that's the way we need to think. You know, where we're not trying to break the law, but we love keeping it. And we know that breaking it does such damage and such destruction, and it killed Jesus Christ. The quote says, Christ went through a terrible beating because of our sins. Look at this from God's perspective. He could easily say, yes, I know what you did to him or her, but what did you do to me? You put my son to death, and you put his father through even worse agony. And of course, you know, if you're a parent, you know how hard that is if a child is suffering. God the Father had to allow what happened to Christ to happen to him. And so he went through so much as well. Repentance is toward God. It has to be, or else it doesn't affect lasting change, because worldly sorrow goes away after a while, and then people usually kind of get back into bad habits, get back into sins. But godly repentance affects lasting change, because we don't want to sin again. We do not want to hurt God and Jesus Christ, God the Father and Jesus Christ. It says, if you have problems that keep recurring in your life, evaluate yourself by this measure. Are you repenting toward God? Realize your evil before God. Sin should horrify us You know, the world doesn't think that way. They love it, actually, or they make fun of it, or they take it very casually. But sin should horrify us. That's the way God feels about it. He hates it. It says David was a very evil man. Of course, you know some of that history. But he became very righteous, so righteous that he will rule over Israel forever. What a great example of conversion, right? Of changing. He changed. He learned to hate sin. Surely, it says, there will be people serving under him who never committed acts as evil as his were. But the difference is, David really knew how to repent. He repented toward God. He knew he had hurt other people, but he knew ultimately he had sinned against God. Notice Philippians 2 and verse 5. Very important passage here, Philippians 2 and verse 5. We talk about true repentance and conversion. Philippians 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's the mind that we need in us. Christ did not want to sin. He didn't want anything to do with sin. He fought against it when he was on this earth and was victorious. But he thought about it the way, of course, that God did, his Father. We have to think about sin that same way, too. If we're really going to effect a change, if we're really going to stop the things that we know we shouldn't do and not do them again, we're going to think about them the way God does. Our repentance will be towards God. Notice verse 13 here of Philippians 2. It says, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." As it says here in this quote, it is not human effort, talking about this changing and conquering. We may not actually want to overcome a problem, but God says that he'll give us that desire. We must go to God for the desire to overcome. And that's a great point, too. I mean, carnal mind doesn't want to overcome sin. We have to go to God to get the right mind, get his mind, as we read there in Philippians 2 and verse 5, to think about sin the way that he does. So we can really make the change, really repent towards him. It says we must go to God for the desire to overcome. If we do, he promises he'll give us that desire. Our repentance will be toward God, and then we'll be able to overcome any obstacle. See, that's exciting. You know, there's changes we all need to make in life, we all want to make in our lives. We can do it with the help of God and repentance toward God, changing. Seeing sin the way God does and realizing that sin killed Jesus Christ and feeling about it the same way that he does, realizing what sin does. We'll take sin much more seriously if we're thinking about it that way, and that's a major key to helping us change and have permanent and positive change in our lives. We have a lot more about this. Lesson 9 of the Correspondence Course, also How to Be an Overcomer. Free at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending a little bit of your time with me today. I appreciate it. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.